Today on Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram.
Is it possible to experience supernatural power into impossible situations on a regular basis? I mean, we've all had probably one of those little windows and our eyes get big and God has really moved in a powerful way. Is it possible to see that happen on a regular basis? The answer, yes. How? That's today. Don't miss it.
Today on Living on the Edge, Chip Ingram reveals a few key practices that made King David a man of breakthrough. We're discovering how David habitually experienced God's supernatural power, not just in dramatic moments like defeating Goliath, but throughout decades of leadership, failure, and restoration. If you want breakthrough to become your new normal rather than a rare spiritual high, this message will show you how. Well, here's Chip Ingram continuing our series, Experience Breakthrough.
The question we're going to ask and answer is, how did David habitually, that's the key word, how did David habitually unleash God's supernatural power into impossible situations? And it's not the only psalm, but I think in this little portion of his journal, we learn five things about who he is and five specific things that he did that I can say in my life and you can say in yours, you know what? I think if I do that, that I can have a journey for the next 10 or 20 or 50 years, however God gives you, and I can habitually make breakthrough the new norm. Let's pick up the story here. It's Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me and devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart, I will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then, I will be confident. And what we're going to see is from his personal journey, exactly who he was. Who was he? In this first section, verses 1-3, he was a bold risk taker. I want you to, if you will, circle my light, my salvation, my stronghold. And notice the little word, my. This is personal. This isn't a philosophy. It's not a worldview. God, Yahweh, Jesus is my light. But he's more than just my light. He's my salvation. In fact, you might write the word deliverer. You either have a really big God and small problems, or you have really big problems and a very small God. And then he says, when stuff comes again, he's my stronghold. What is he saying? I will be confident. And so when you see God and know God for who he is, you're a bold risk taker. Now, what did he do? He trusted God. Question, are you a bold risk taker? Second thing, in the next section, we're going to learn that he was a passionate worshiper. That's who he was. Number two, a passionate worshiper. And you say, well, Chip, where do you get that? Look at verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's declared, I'm not going to live in fear. And now he's going to say, this is my personal number one priority in life. One thing do I seek. And what is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Well, what are you going to do? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Well, why? Because in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and he will set me high on a rock. And the result? Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. David was a passionate worshiper. And what did he do? He pursued God. He pursued God. Did you see the word seek, seek, seek? He wants to behold his beauty. He was a bold risk taker. He was a passionate worshiper who pursued God. And third, he was a wounded healer. We pick that up in verse 7. He says, hear my voice when I call, Lord. And then notice the first thing. I mean, this is a guy that's committed murder. This is a guy that has committed adultery. This is a guy that realizes when he looks at his fathering track record, it's too late. He's messed up. He says, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And then he's like us. He struggles with rejection. He struggles with abandonment. He longs and craves acceptance. So listen to this prayer. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away from your servant in anger. Well, why would God be angry? Well, he knows why God would be angry with him. Anybody in this room know why God should probably be angry with you? I do. And he's praying. He goes, I've messed up. Don't turn away. Don't hide from me. Notice what he goes on to say. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my Savior, without you, I don't have a prayer. Though my father and my mother, or even if, or in the possibility that my father and mother would forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And so what you hear is a man who's a wounded healer. And you know what he was? What did he do? He was honest with God. He was just honest with God. Later, David would write, you might jot this down. It's been helpful for me. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to those who call upon him. That's the first half of the verse. And I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've called upon him and he didn't feel near at all. Anybody there? Oh, God, help. I had a guy write an email. We're on a journey with a fellow in another state, and he's a doctor, and he's real smart, and he's real analytical, and people have challenged his faith, and we're reading books together, and he wrote me a long email, and he said, I feel like I have this letter made out to God, but I just don't know where to send it. And, you know, we've read Mere Christianity and The Case for Christ and a number of books and all kind of different things. And he's trying with his mind to put his arms around all of it. And the second half of that verse says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Amen. See, God just rushes to help you the moment, instead of posing, posturing, denial, excusing, blaming. You know, a lot of our prayers are, you know, if my wife would just shape up, or if my husband would start being more sensitive, if my son would finally repent, you know, if the educational system would get straightened out, if Hollywood, we quit making all those bad movies, you know, if the government would just do something, you know. All those things that you can't control. But what you see from David's life is, you know, he had lots of ups and lots of downs. The moment you get honest with God and own your mistakes, your struggles, your failure, and your weakness, you will not meet a God whose arms are crossed, whose toe is tapping, and looks down on you with, I was wondering when you would come, because I have this cosmic ruler that I want to wrap your knuckles and on your forehead. You will meet a God who in every way like you has been tempted, yet without sin, who walked on this earth and had prostitutes fall at his feet and weep over his feet and dry him with their hair. He's looked into the eyes of people that were his closest friends who moments later would betray him. He understands the pain of humanity. He completely understands where you are, where you've been, what you've done. So much so that he went to a cross and died in your place and rose from the dead and said, it's finished, and offers not just a one-time forgiveness for your sin where you're born again, but as a follower, sometimes after you blow it, when you've known the Lord for a long time, it's harder to get honest with God, isn't it? I should know better. I should know better. I can't believe I did that. And you hide it. And then pretty soon there's no experience of God. And then pretty soon you start acting in ways and people can see the difference. You want to experience supernatural power? Be honest with God. Just get ruthlessly honest about the mistakes and the hurts and the past, and pray something like this. Don't turn away from me. Don't forsake me. And then did you notice this little phrase? In his heart, something inside of him, he had ups, he had downs, but something inside of him said, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. And then he's speaking to himself, and my heart said, I'll seek your face. Did you notice the word face? It pops up here. And the beauty of the Lord in his face, it's intimacy. It's personal. See, there isn't this little formula, breakthrough. If I do A, B, C, and D, then God will fix my marriage. A, B, C, and D, then my kids. A, B, C, and D, then my business. So, I mean, that is just forgive the terminology, that's spiritual baloney. And it completely misses the point of the heart of God. He loves you. Supernatural power is available for those who are bold risk takers, for those who are passionate worshipers, for those who are wounded healers. And by the way, sometimes you ask God for a breakthrough. Are you ready for this? Here's his answer. No. What? Yeah, sometimes, oh God, will you deal with this? Will you deal with this? And maybe it's a physical healing, or maybe it's part of a relationship and the other person has to change. And sometimes he says, no. And it's not because you don't have enough faith. The Apostle Paul wanted a breakthrough. It's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul had quite a bit of faith. He earlier in the same chapter talked about God giving him this view of heaven. And we don't know what it was, but there was something in his life that was a real, real pain. And once he asked, God said no. Twice he asked, God said no. Three times God says no. And then God says to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I'm not going to give you the supernatural relief in this situation. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. But you can't ever get power perfected in weakness until you get honest enough to say, this is weakness. I can't handle this. God, please take it away.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and we'll continue our lesson in just a minute. If you've missed any part of this series or want to dive deeper into the principles we're learning about, everything is available at livingontheedge.org. You'll find the complete message library, small group resources, and practical study tools, all designed to help you experience the breakthrough you're seeking. It's all there, waiting for you, at livingontheedge.org. Well, now let's continue with today's message.
And then here's the response that ushers in power. I love this. Verse 10 says, therefore, not just I'll put up with it, I'll deal with it, I'll try to have a good attitude. What's he say? Therefore, I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, if this is the way you get supernatural power and I'm made for eternity and I'm in this little thing short term called time, well, bring it on. Just bring on the insults, bring on the distress. I don't care what other people say. I don't care if I stay in prison, this thorn in my flesh. If this is a part of the journey, I want to experience your power. The church and the world doesn't need to see more stuff and more buildings and more religion. They need to meet Christians filled with God's power, who are going through difficult times and have joy, who restore things when people thought there was no hope, who live with a great attitude in terrible job situations, who lose their homes or lose their businesses or going through difficult times. And your non-Christian friends are going, how in the world can you have a good attitude? And you say, well, it's not easy, but God's grace is sufficient. Would I like my home back? Would I like my business? Would I like things to work out? Am I happy that for reasons I can't understand, after 23 years, my mate decided I don't love you anymore and walked off with someone else? It's a fallen, painful world. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my deliverer. He's my stronghold. And it's in those difficulty and painful times that God works powerfully. He was a wounded healer. And what did he do? He was honest with God. In the next section, we learn that there's a part of this man that never gives up the fight. He was a fierce warrior. Verse 11, he says, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight, or literally a level path. In other words, God, in all the ups and all the downs and all the struggles, I want you to teach me. I'm listening. I want to figure out where you're at work and I want to join you. Teach me and lead me. But then he tells why. Because he understands he's in a battle. Look at the, because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. Circle the word oppressors, circle the word foes, circle the word false witnesses, and then circle malicious accusations. He was a fierce warrior. And you know what he did? He followed God. That's how simple. He just followed God. What's the game plan for a king in this season? What's the game plan for a father who's really failed? What's your way and your instruction when you've sinned deeply and committed adultery? What do you do when there's prosperity everywhere? What he was asking was, I want to learn, I want to follow, whatever you say, that's what I want to do. The moment you say that to God, I will guarantee his will be almost the opposite of the entire culture coming at you, and unfortunately, opposite of most Christians. See, where there's faith, there's power. Where there's praise, there's power. Where there's honesty admitting weakness, there's power. And what's he doing right here? He's a fierce warrior, but how is he fighting? I mean, he's won on the battlefield. What's he doing? He's praying. God, teach me. God, show me. This is like saying, God, show me how to figure out the software program. God, show me how I relate to my grown son or daughter. God, show me how to deal with this physical disability. God, show me, teach me, lead me. I want to do life your way. It's just following. And as you step and follow, power. As you step and follow, power. Why do you think there's those Old Testament stories? You know, they're at the Jordan River. When they stepped, what happened? Peter, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Come. What? You know, he could stand in that boat forever. He steps. He follows. Asking God what he's up to. Following him. What would happen if each of us became fierce warriors for God's agenda and stopped asking God, how are things going with me and for me? And started asking, what is your agenda? Will you teach me? Will you lead me? The hope for America, it's as we walk out of here filled with God's Spirit, expecting him to work, being passionate worshipers who take bold risk, who say, I will follow no matter what. I can't do it, but in my weakness. And the God of heaven will choose, because he's promised to blow the wind of life in you and me. And you will get to be the recipients of him doing things in you that you thought were not possible, and things through you that you thought were only for superstars. But see, when he does that through ordinary people like us and shepherd boys, who gets the credit? He does. Finally, he was a faithful servant. In other words, he didn't give up. He didn't give in. Here's what he did. He finished well. Notice what it says. He says in verse 13, I remain confident of this. Now think of all that he's been through. He's had a son turn on him. He's run for his life. He's experienced a coup. He's been in battles. He's been hiding in caves. He's seen amazing prosperity. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. Now, he knows he's going to see. He wrote Psalm 23, right? He knows that goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life, and that he's going to spend that with the Lord forever. What he's saying is, I am confident, I know for sure, I'm going to experience God's goodness. Where's the land of the living? That's the right now. That's today. Despite the difficulty, despite the circumstances, he's going to finish well. Why? Notice he gives this warning. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord. You, when he says be strong, you know what he's saying to people like us? Don't give up, don't give in. Don't give up on that situation. Don't give up on that person. Take heart means don't be discouraged. Don't get inwardly focused. Endure. Persevere. See, where there's perspective, there's power. David understood. Think of the part of the Bible that he had. He had the first five books, and a bit more. And he could read in Genesis about someone named Joseph. And what David was a worshiper and a man of faith. And what he knew is that when you step out and God does the impossible through you and he has a great plan, sometimes the first thing he does is you get betrayed by people who love you. And then after you're betrayed, you land in a pit. And then he may prosper you for a while, and then people lie about you, and you can be falsely accused of things. And then after that, just to top it off, he'll stick you in prison. So you're in the pit, then you're in the prison, so that you can end up the second most powerful person in the world to save an entire nation. and be exalted. Because what did we learn earlier? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up. See, David understood the Joseph journey. What he understood was, here's the spiritual equation. If God is absolutely sovereign and in control of all things, if God is good, that means he has my best interest in mind. But even in a fallen world, he's all powerful. He will orchestrate his power, his goodness, and his wisdom in the midst of the sin and betrayal and ugliness of other people. And out of that will come his goodness in me and through me in the land of the living. And what I have to do is not bail out. Because he always does something deep in you before he does something significant through you. Who is David? David is a shepherd boy that became a king, and he was a bold risk taker. He was a passionate worshiper. He was a wounded healer. He was a fierce warrior, and he was a faithful servant, a servant of God. What did he do? Very simply, he trusted God, he pursued God, he was honest with God, he followed God, and he finished well. Here's the question I think God is probably asking all of us. Who are you going to be? And what do you do? Do you live by faith? Are you a bold risk taker? Are you a passionate worshiper? Are you willing to be a wounded healer? Are you gonna fight? Are you gonna realize life isn't fair and you're not a victim, but the power of Christ lives within you? See, where there is faith, there's power. Where there is praise, there's power. Where there's honesty, there's power. Where there's prayer, there's power. And where there's perspective and you see the big picture, there's the grace and power of God for him to unleash in you and through you his purposes for all those around you. And that's called breakthrough.
This is Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram and a message titled, What's Next? Making Breakthrough Your New Normal. Five practices, five ways David made breakthrough habitual. Chip will be back with one more thought, so please stay with us. And just a reminder, if you ever miss any part of these Bible messages or you'd like to share them with someone you know, you can find all of Chip's teachings available on our website, livingontheedge.org. As this series on breakthrough concludes, let me point you to a resource that can help you apply everything you've learned. It's Chip's free 10-day devotional called Psalms of Hope. Today we studied Psalm 27, David's personal journal entry about trusting God through impossible circumstances. Psalms of Hope will take you deeper into that practice of meeting God through the Psalms and experiencing his presence daily. Get started today at livingontheedge.org. Search for Psalms of Hope and begin your journey. Resources like this are made possible by faithful friends who believe in what God is doing through this ministry. Your financial support allows us to keep creating resources and delivering biblical truth every week. If this ministry is making a difference in your life, please consider giving today. We've made it easy to give online at livingontheedge.org or send your gift through the mail. Addressing your envelope to Living on the Edge, P.O. Box 3007, Atlanta, Georgia, 30024. You can also call us and give over the phone at 888-333-6003. And don't forget, the Living on the Edge podcast brings you every message on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen. Subscribe today and share it with someone who needs to hear this. Well, now here's Chip with today's talking point.
As we close today's program, we learned five things from David that made him a person who experienced supernatural power on a regular basis. He was a bold risk taker. He was a passionate worshiper. He was a wounded healer. He was a fierce warrior, and he was a faithful servant. Which one of those, if you had to choose one, that you need to say, Lord, I need to address that in my life. I need to become a fierce warrior or passionate worshiper. Why don't you ask him and then take the first step and say, Lord, teach me how to be that kind of person, and you will unlock the door for future breakthrough. God bless you and keep pressing ahead.
I'm Dave Drewy, and next time we'll discuss how to break through life's biggest barriers, starting with loneliness. Join us Monday for Living on the Edge. Today's program is produced and sponsored by Living on the Edge.